here's a story from The World.
The global war on terror is now coming up on 2 decades. It was launched by President George W. Bush's administration after the attacks on September 11th. This week, the State Department issued its annual Country Reports on Terrorism, a snapshot of key developments over the past year around the globe. Emma Rita Torres is the Director of Policy Research and Programs at the Soufan Center in New York. This annual report, in some ways, it's a threat assessment, right? So which terrorist groups is it focusing on?
So yes, the report is focused largely on Salafi jihadist groups like ISIS, the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, and their affiliates. It also focuses quite a bit on Iran as a state sponsor of terror and the particular countries around the world that harbor terrorists from these groups. And it does have a new focus on white supremacy extremism, or what the State Department is calling REMT, or racially and ethnically motivated terrorism.
Right. And that's kind of a new thing in this report. What else is new? What struck you?
I think the main takeaway was the focus on ISIS as a resilient and adaptable group. Even though it lost its physical caliphate in Iraq and Syria, the group still continues to operate via new branches and networks. Al-Shabaab has retained a safe haven in Africa and de facto control over large parts of Somalia. In the Lake Chad region, ISIS West Africa is quite active, and terrorist attacks have increased significantly in the Sahel, around 250% since 2018.
So Iran, identified in this report, is supporting terror. What other countries were highlighted for having links to terrorist activities, not necessarily supporting terror?
The white supremacy piece is key here, because over the last couple of years, the transnational white supremacist threat has grown. We've seen high-profile attacks in 2019 in Christchurch, New Zealand, in Germany, in El Paso, Texas. And so they do recognize that the threat is rising and spreading geographically. The State Department did designate the Russian Imperial Movement a white supremacist group in April, which was an important step. And what it represents is really a shift in the mindset of U.S. government counterterrorism officials. But what we really want to see in reports moving forward is more in-depth analysis of the transnational threat of this movement, because there are global networks that exist around the world, and they're sharing information in online spaces, Telegram, Discord, 4chan, 8chan, and that online space is turning to offline violence.
So, I mean, beyond financial pressure, how is the U.S. continuing to keep the pressure on this adaptable threat, especially if President Trump is determined to pull troops out of most of the trouble spots?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard task to take up. I spent 10 years at the State Department, and I do think that there are strong efforts being made. But at the same time, the U.S. government has taken a backseat in Syria, where you have ISIS affiliates operating. And it's hard to see how the United States could have a strong position there when it has very little presence there. I think in Iraq, it's a better picture because the global coalition is present there. But again, as ISIS continues to, you know, go behind the scenes and plot, it's going to be much more difficult to seek them out. And with the resources squeezed as a result of COVID-19 and attention being elsewhere, I think the threat is only going to manifest and continue.
Emma Rita Torres, the Director of Policy Research and Programs at the Soufan Center, speaking with us from New York. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.